Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
It wasn't too long ago, speaking of science, that there was a widespread belief in eugenics, the idea that humanity could be improved by controlled breeding. In effect, that meant that supposedly inferior people not be allowed to reproduce. And what's uncomfortable about this is that some of the people who believed in it, Angela Saini is a science journalist and co-presenter of a two-part BBC Radio 4 documentary called Eugenics, Science's Greatest Scandal. Angela, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi.
I suppose people might be shocked if they consider how recent the ideas of eugenics were and just how widespread they were, particularly in the first half of the 20th century and the amount of people who subscribed to them.
Yeah, I think we think of eugenics as something that was left behind before the Second World War and during the Second World War, and that it belongs to Nazi Germany, but that's not true at all. I mean, as we explore in the documentary, first of all, it was an idea that was developed by scientists in Britain. And secondly, it was taken up all over the world. There were many countries that subscribed to eugenic ideas, and there were sterilizations happening in some countries into the 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s.
And was the basic idea of eugenics that people who were seen to be faulty in any way just weren't allowed to reproduce, and then that would improve the human race?
Yeah, the idea was that there are some people in society who are more desirable and there are other people who are less desirable, and that traits get passed through families, things like what were described at the time as mental feebleness, so, you know, whether you're intelligent or not, disability, attractiveness even, but also these ideas were applied to race. So there was this idea that certain races are better than others and that we should kind of reduce immigration, or in the case of Nazi racial hygiene, of course, just eliminate entire groups of people because they're seen as inferior.
Now, I suppose with Nazism, there was a political ideology there, but I suppose more pernicious is the thought that this was being touted as science as well by the likes of Francis Galton. What was his claimed scientific basis to this?
Well, Francis Galton was Darwin's cousin, and he very much believed that he himself, for instance, he was a child prodigy, and he believed that intelligence and good traits were passed through families. And, for example, he would be an example. Like, you know, that in his family, there were many geniuses and many brilliant people. But, of course, we know what even people knew at the time, so people who opposed eugenics even at the time said, that's not true. You get brilliant people, you know, randomly spread throughout the population, and there's no guarantee that brilliant parents will produce brilliant children. But that aside, he really kind of pushed this idea that brilliance and greatness is passed through generations, and that we could create a kind of master race of people if we just encouraged these brilliant people to breed and we discouraged other people from breeding. So it's just like animal breeding in a way, but he extended it to humans. So there is a scientific idea behind it, but of course that's not really how things work in practice. And we know the science of eugenics wouldn't have worked. There were people who, at the time, who showed that it wouldn't have worked because traits don't necessarily pass in this kind of one-to-one fashion. And although with plants and animals, sometimes you can breed for one specific trait, you definitely cannot breed for multi-complex, you know, many traits all at once. So in a way, it was always doomed to failure. But the science, the idea of it, I think we still live with in some ways today, because I still hear people now talking in these terms, you know, thinking that there is such a thing as a perfect human being, or that there are some people are better than others, and that you know, even this political idea that poor people outbreed rich people, that poor people shouldn't be allowed to have so many children or should be discouraged from having so many children because they somehow have traits that we don't really want in society.
And Galton, it should be pointed out, was a scientist, but he was a statistician. He wasn't a geneticist or anything.
No, he wasn't a geneticist. But then this was a period of time in history in which scientists often straddled various disciplines. So he brought statistics to this idea. And in fact, he developed some very good statistical ideas, very good mathematics that we still use to this day. So he was at heart a statistician, and his maths is still used, by modern-day scientists and mathematicians. The problem was is when you bring politics into these fields and when you start to try and apply science sometimes in dangerous, troubling ways using very scant science or, you know, the kind of kernel of an idea that you don't have much evidence for and things run away with you. So I think for me, at least, as a science journalist, eugenics is a lesson in how science or scientific thinking can sometimes go very badly wrong when politics gets brought into the mix, and why we have to be so careful about people who claim to be using science to improve society.
Now, I suppose Galton is a fairly straightforward example of this because he was a racist. There's plenty of evidence he was a racist. Does it become more problematic, though, when we consider Virginia Woolf, T.S. Eliot, D.H. Lawrence, Mary Stopes, Winston Churchill, all were people who subscribed to his ideas?
Eugenics was very popular. It was extremely mainstream, and it was very much a kind of everyday, almost fashionable at the beginning of the 20th century. And that's something we forget. When we look back at history, we like to categorize people as good and bad, that these are the evil ones and these are the good ones, and this is how it worked. But history is always more complicated than that, and certainly eugenics at the time was seen by many people as a positive thing, as, you know, helping the human race, improving the British race, for instance. There were very many thinkers, philosophers, scientists, liberals, progressives who bought into this idea and really saw in eugenics a way to improve society very quickly. What they didn't, I think what you can see in their ideas, sometimes when you look back at them, and especially in the writings, sometimes of D.H. Lawrence and Virginia Woolf, it feels quite inhumane what they're writing. But at the time, it wasn't necessarily seen that way. It was seen as progressive. And there was this feeling that, yes, perhaps we need to make some sacrifices for the good of the country. But somehow they couldn't see that those sacrifices would need to be made by real people.
Yeah,
you know, that there would be actual people behind it.
And it's always other people who have to make these sacrifices, of course. In the course of producing this documentary, and you did allude to perhaps, you know, attitudes towards poor people. Did you still see the remnants of eugenics? Is it still working today?
I mean, I think that's the darkest thing for me and my co-presenter, Adam Pearson. So Adam has a genetic condition that causes him disability pain. He's had many operations, but also it's a visible disability. And he has to grapple with this every day because there are people in the world who believe that he, for example, shouldn't have kids because of this genetic condition in case he passes it on. So there are people who still think in this way. There are people I know as someone who's non-white, I've suffered racism living in Britain, who think that I am inferior and, you know, that there should be less of me in the population, that I'm somehow dragging down the British race. And these people are very much at the extreme of politics, but they do exist. And I think we need to engage with these ideas and understand where these ideas about human perfection come from and how we still in some ways retain them in our everyday lives. Even at the softer end, I would say, the way we think about poor people or the way we think about the disabled or the way we think about people on the margins of society, a lot of these ideas, I think, are tainted by the legacy of eugenics, even if we don't think about it that way. And I think understanding the history, and this is why making the documentary series has been so life-changing for me and Adam. It's really brought into sharp relief the way we think about these ideas when you understand the historical context.
That two-part documentary series is called Eugenics, Science's Greatest Scandal. Angela Saini, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks so much, Sean.